Broadcasting from AnyUpMagazine.com and 620 WDAE AM, the sports animal in Tampa Bay, Florida.
With your hosts, Chris Cosenza and Scott Long.
It's time to Ante Up. It's August 29th, 2008, and you're listening to the best poker podcast on the internet, and I am very exhausted today.
65 hours?
It was 65 hours.
1,037 miles on the road.
1,037 miles.
16 poker rooms.
Some more than once.
Yes. We had a crazy last 3 days, haven't we?
It was unbelievable. And all that poker, all those poker rooms, and how many hands of poker did we play?
Let me think. Well, there was that, but...
And then I...
There's that... you know what? I think we made the entire trip.
Yep.
And neither one of us played a hand of poker.
That has to be a record. The most poker rooms ever visited in the history of mankind without playing a hand of poker. Can you believe we didn't play a hand of poker?
Do you think we just lost our podcast poker association license cards
that,
there?
That could be the case here. I know that that's clearly a record somehow. Or at least it's a record for someone being with you for that amount of time. I don't think we ever left any each other's presence at all.
Yeah, yeah. My wife and I can't even go 10 minutes without taking a break from each other. So,
and we're still partners in business, so I think that's a record, too.
But yeah, we did a big tour from all the way down from the south parts of Miami all the way up to the north part of Jacksonville and looked at a bunch of poker rooms, and we'll talk about that in our main topic. We had some crazy escapades. Starting with the fact that we didn't play any poker.
We didn't play any poker. And that Scott busted my chops when I sat in the car and we started to take off. And I said, I didn't bring my bankroll. What? How did you not bring your bankroll? And what? We didn't play one hand of poker. So we'll talk about that a little bit later.
Yeah, karma, I think. All right, well, I don't know if we set a record, but somebody else out there is trying to set a record.
It is insane.
So this comes from the Publican, which I guess is a British website, because this guy is trying to set a record in... Library Bar in Lincoln, UK. In September, next month, he's going to try to set the record for the longest ever poker session.
Is there a record, like, already established?
He will attempt to play for 100 hours straight, thereby smashing the previous record of 72, as well as raise £10,000 for local charities.
Oh, that's cool. At least he's doing something for charity, too, with it.
100 hours.
Yeah, I don't know.
Now, I wonder who's established the record, because I gotta say Doyle and all those Texas road gamblers.
Yep.
I think they might have something to say about it.
I'm yawning already, believe it or not. But yeah, I know, because I know those guys. But see, now there's got to be some sort of criteria that they're following, saying, okay, you're only allowed a 15-minute nap or 15-minute break.
Yeah, normally they'll let you know that how long you get to take a whiz, and whether you're allowed to But it doesn't say on this particular story. But it says he's going to start on September 14th. And for more details, you can visit www.pokerplayingmarathon.com.
Cool.
See, now here's the thing about marathon. It's 26 miles.
Uh-huh.
And people just throw marathon out for anything. It goes forever.
I know.
I mean, if he was playing for 26 days, I might let him go with that. But
26.4 days or whatever that is.
It's almost like an ultra marathon, 100 hours.
Yeah.
So it should be pokerplayingultramarathon.com.
Don't confuse the listeners, Scott. Tell them the real address again.
All right, pokerplayingmarathon.com, and we wish him the best of luck. And at some point, maybe we'll try going 4 hours.
I'll try going 100 minutes. Without, as you so eloquently put it, taking a whiz. This real deal thing that's going on at the Venetian?
Yes, it's getting ready to start in the Venetian, I believe, in October.
So, I mean, it's cool. It sounds unique, and I just don't know how people are going to want to go there just to try to participate in this thing. And then they're also even exploring putting it on actual television, which is really weird.
Yeah, well, here's the deal. It's kind of a Vegas stage show.
Yeah.
But instead of half-naked women dancing around with big feather costumes, it's going to be a poker game going on. And they're going to draw, I believe it's six or seven people from the audience to play on stage with two well-known pros. And they got a pretty good roster of people playing. I think Dan Negreanu and Doyle Brunson are among them.
Right.
And then everybody sitting in the seats will have their own little jobby there that you can play along, and
it's like America's Funniest Home Videos. They all get the push number four
without Bob Saget or Tom Bergeron.
Exactly. Or Daisy Fuentes. If you think Doyle should fold, push four. If you think Doyle should call, push three.
But there is apparently a lot of money online, and somebody could walk away with $1 million every night. Of course, to have that happen, you got to go through all the stuff, and then somebody has to get royal flush. So.
And you have to play for 100 hours straight and set the world record.
Yeah, could be. Now, you know, it's hard to get a royal flush except when electronics are involved, so maybe it's not going to be that hard at all.
Yeah, you never know.
Yeah.
Although, I have a feeling, is the table at the stage, is that electronic, or is there an actual dealer and everything?
No, I believe that's electronic, too.
Oh, okay.
I don't know. But Todd Brunson had a great column in, I believe it was Card Player this time, at, talking about. He's really stoked about it, too. So, you know, if Todd Brunson can be stoked about it.
Yeah, I guess.
Okay.
I but Todd Brunson's stoked about vodka and darts, too. So.
And it's put on by Merv Adelson, who created a bunch of those old shows back when we were kids that we loved, or at least our parents loved. Knots Landing and stuff.
Wasn't that Merv Griffin?
No. He did the game show.
I can't believe there's more than one person named Merv. In the
it's a popular show business name.
Merv. Maybe we should change our name to Merv. Is Zanny up with Merv Cosenza?
Paul Rodriguez is going to be the host.
Are you serious?
Yeah, I didn't even know he's still alive.
Man, talk about, he's like an F-lister, that guy. He's not even he's not even on the D list. He's so down.
And they say about 40 or 50 spectators should walk out with a prize, you know, everywhere from logo merchandise. That's probably going to be heavy.
Yeah, 49 of those are going to be logo merchandise. One will be like 10 grand.
The jewelry and plasma screen TVs. That's going to be tough to put in your carry-on pack.
How do you walk out of there? Especially like you and your little spider. Oh, yeah, there you go. Put this in the back seat.
Yeah, so it starts October 14th, 4 p.m., 6 days a week. Dark on Sunday. I love that. Only in Broadway in Vegas do they use the word dark.
Yeah.
Everywhere else is except closed. Crazy. So twice a day, four and seven. So
wait, what did you just say?
4 and 7 a day. 4 p.m., two shows.
I don't know. You said it so fast. You know, you would think that you'd be slower today because we're just so exhausted from this trip, but...
I'm amped up, man. Yeah. I had, zero Red Bulls and...
Oh, man. Well, you know, even though we traveled a lot together, I actually traveled a little more than you over the last few days because I went over to the Palm Beach Kennel Club.
You did.
To interview Jerry Yang, the world champion. He was going there for a charity event, and he also did a seminar. And just a quick story real quick. Just before he was about to do a seminar, they had a dog race going around behind, and one of the dogs went over the railing and got electrocuted.
Yeah.
And it was right when everyone was watching, and it was just, so
just
sad.
Unfortunate.
So sad. But, you know, it's a reality of the dog racing, and that happens every once in a while, but it's very rare, but that was kind of sad. So
let me ask you, I forgot to ask you this entire 65 hours that we were together.
I thought we've talked about everything. You know my shoe size, my favorite movie, that I like to walk on the beach with sandals. All right, so what's the deal?
Did he have his Jerry Yang uniform on, the sport coat and the hat?
Yeah. Yes, he did.
And the sunglasses and everything?
Yes.
I kind of like that look for him.
Yeah, he was a great guy. I mean, he walked around the room and shook every single person's hand. And I'm talking about in the card room, which was packed because they all knew he was coming.
Yeah.
He shook all of the hands of the staff, the waiters, everything. And he had the whole get up on with the glasses.
All right, yeah.
But then when he did a seminar, he kept the hat on and he kept the clothes on. Thank God.
Good, yeah.
He took his sunglasses off of the seminar. But yeah, he was dressed all in black. Anyway, you know that I wasn't going to pass up an opportunity to ask him about the hand. With Annie Upper, Lee Childs.
Yes, absolutely.
So, let's listen to that, and then there's a little surprise at the end.
How do you think your life would have changed had Lee Childs called you with the Pocket Queens?
I wouldn't have been a world champion, that's for sure. I would have gone home.
Yeah.
If he had called me, he would have busted me right there.
Yeah.
I tried to play like I had Kings, and later on he came to me, not that very night, but a couple of months later when he saw me at Caesars, he said, I really thought you had pocket kings, and that's why I folded. So I guess I succeeded in making him think that I had a huge hand.
And that was what your thought was? You didn't think you just had the best hand? You did think that he might have you beat, and you wanted to make him think you had a better hand?
I tried to make him think.
Okay.
Because if you remember, he raised to 720,000 with his queens.
Right.
I pumped it up to 2.5 million, and then he just called me. When he called me, at that point was I jumped to my plan B actually at that point. And so I said, you know what, I'm gonna represent Kings right here. You know, make him think that I had Kings.
Right.
And I pushed it all in. I guess I succeeded. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, last question. Do you play any other games besides No Limit Hold'em?
I played 7-card stud. Not the high low thing, just a straight 7-card stud.
Okay.
Sometimes. And then I play limit hold'em sometimes, but My specialty is usually No Limit Hold'em. That's the game that I'm going to stick with it. I would like to learn Raz someday.
Yes.
So if you know of a good
actually, you're looking at
player.
It. You're looking
really?
At it.
Yeah. Wow.
That's actually that's our call of the show. Our main thing is called Let's Play Raz. We introduce it to everybody. We love Raz.
Oh, Chris.
If you ever need any help, you let us know.
Oh, thank you.
I now am the tutor for the 2007 World Champion of Raz. We're exchanging emails back and forth, and he's going to enter the World Series event next year, and if he wins anything, he's going to give me half. So,
really?
No. Well, but anyway,
we'll at least give you some Jerry Yang sunglasses.
Yeah, or at least a hat or something.
Yeah, there you go.
But I did think it was interesting that he said when he made the move, he was trying to represent a bigger hand than he had, that he was... And I wasn't sure what to feel about that. I really thought that when he made that move, he thought his jacks were good. But he felt like that he needed to represent a bigger hand than jacks, and that's how he got Lee off the hand. And Lee, you know, came up to him later on, he said at the Caesars, and said, Jerry, I really thought you had kings. And then Jerry was like, yeah, that's what I was hoping you'd think. I don't know about you, but when I watched the World Series, I really thought he felt he had the best hand at that point, and that's why he did it, not because...
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
But to admit that he wouldn't be world champion today if, you know, Lee had called, and his life would be totally different, you know.
Totally different, too. It's so wild.
Yeah,
completely. One turn of a card.
He'd still be working, probably. And,
yeah.
You know, so anyway, I interviewed him, and we're going to do a story on him for our next issue in October. So look for that.
Well, Mike Sexton is probably kind of a person people probably look up to for poker knowledge, right?
And, absolutely.
I don't
ever advise people to learn poker on TV, but... hearing what he has to say is very informative, and a lot of people learn from that, and I agree. He's one of the better teachers that are out there.
All right, so will your opinion of him change, Chris, if Mike Sexton said, all electronic poker rooms are, quote, the wave of the future. The wave of the future. Now, we talked about this last week. The Excalibur in Las Vegas went to all poker tech tables, so it's all electronic.
Right.
No more poker room manager. They've got a director of casino operations and poker or something crazy like
basically
that.
Basically just some nerd gamer who knows how to run electronic things.
But apparently Mike Sexton is he's just positively giddy over this.
Well, you know, it's hard to gauge what his reaction means unless you know if he has a sponsorship deal with them.
Yeah, that's true.
Just stopped him on the corner and said, hey, Mike, what do you think of him? And he's not getting a penny for it. I don't know what he would have said, but maybe he's getting some money for what he's saying. So I can't hold him, you know, responsible for that. You know,
he did make one point that I don't think we talked about last week when we talked about this, and this was in a Casino City Times story. He said the problem with casinos is a lot of time, especially during off-peak months, they have a bunch of dealers in the poker rooms just sitting around because it's hard for them to predict what kind of traffic. So, you know, now if they can save money on staffing, they can make more money, and we know that's the name of the game. He says, quote, and the players don't have to pay as much rake, so it's good for everyone.
I like the part about not having to tip a dealer, and of course, that's me. but obviously I tip dealers, just not waitresses. But and not having to tip or not having to pay a rake. Well, no, you still have to pay a rake. Right?
Yeah, you're still going to have. But I guess it's a lower rate because they don't have to charge us. I don't know.
I think it seems like it's going to be a balancing act where, okay, they're going to lose a lot of customers because it's not live, but they're going to gain a lot of money because they're not paying salaries and benefits or whatever. So I don't know. I just can't imagine anyone endorsing it, especially an old school guy like Mike Sexton who, you know, he's got to have some sort of connection there or something. Something's got to be going on.
Well, he said he walked into a room in Australia. 2 years ago, that was stocked with the Poker Pro tables, and he said the place was alive with excitement. There are people playing all levels, playing, having fun.
I don't know. So, I've played on them, and I haven't liked them. So, I mean, it's just like playing on the internet. So, we don't want to rehash that whole argument.
Yes.
But I just wonder if he got something for it. I don't know. Maybe not.
So, one more interesting article. Of course, we know that women aren't new to poker. They've been...
kicking butt for years.
Very well for a long time.
Absolutely.
And but I thought this was interesting, a story on onlinepoker.net, website.net. Casinos now are starting to market poker to women.
Mm-hmm.
But apparently they've always marketed, geared most of their advertising towards women, particularly with roulette and slots and things like that. But now they're finding that it's smart to market to women, not so much just to get the women into play, but because it attracts men to play when there's more women at the table.
All I'm hoping is that there's no thunder from down under showing up in any of these rooms that I'm in. Because then, you know, I can't handle that. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely. Well, and they quote a dealer from Wales who actually says that he's realized that when there are good-looking women sitting at his table when he's dealing, that he gets more tips. And he says he's not sure whether it's just the other men at the table trying to show off in front of these good-looking women or what, but he says he certainly sees a difference.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, guys lose brain cells when they're playing at the table, and maybe that's it. They're just throwing too much money. I don't know. They probably are trying to impress the women.
So I wonder if that's the new shill or the prop player. They really don't need anybody that wants to play poker. They just, as long as you look smoking hot, they'll put you at the table.
They'll put you at the table and increase the revenue. Well, from attractive women to studs. Actually, just stud.
Just one stud.
You remember a couple shows ago?
In fact, a neutered stud, because it's not truly a full stud.
Okay, you done? I'm not even looking at you until you're done. Tell me you're done. All right, so we introduced the five-card stud game into our home game with the new four flushes count and four straights count. And really nothing happened.
And the rules making process was about as short as the
We spent more time
seating the delegate to the Democratic Convention.
We spent more time explaining what beats what now that we've introduced these things than we did actually playing hands. I have to admit, I still didn't play any hands unless I got big cards. But I didn't get any suited connectors or anything.
Yeah, so it didn't change how I played either.
But if you play it, if you get called two or three times during the night, I think I'd play more hands. But we only called it like once that night, maybe twice. And it was just like,
well, we were so exhausted over the first one.
I know. What beats one?
No one wrote down the rules, so we're going to have to go through it all over again.
But, we talked about it on the show, and we were going back and forth about, it's not that way in Hoyle, blah, blah, blah. But one of our listeners wrote in and said, his name is Justin, and he says, Hoyle says nothing about five-card stud that he can find in his book. He says it's a seven-card, six-card, and eight-card stud. So, obviously, there's nothing about four-card straights or four-card flushes because five-card stud wasn't listed in his edition of Hoyle.
All right, I'm going to say right now, we are not introducing six-card or eight-card stud to the home game. So, don't get any crazy ideas. I don't care whether the big game is playing it or not.
Yeah, that's fine. Oh, well, eight-card would be kind of cool. Another round of betting. Pot to be like $600.
Only if it's double flop, eight-card stud.
He says, however, Hoyle does mention that stud poker is not typically played with an ante, which is kind of antiquated. There is no ante in stud poker except by agreement. So he says
agreement by the casino.
Yeah, I guess. He says the point of this, Hoyle doesn't know jack. You should play with four card straights and four card flushes. So, on one of our trips, we hooked up with the card room manager up in Jacksonville, and we had noticed that in one of the other rooms in Melbourne, they had a little pamphlet that said, we'll deal anything, five card stud, Raz, whatever. If you want it, we'll deal it. And so then we talked to Josh up at Jacksonville, and he said, we're sort of handcuffed here in Florida. We have to play the games that are listed in Hoyle. And so I said, we just heard that stud wasn't listed. Five-card stud isn't listed in Hoyle. And I said, it's got to be. So we need to get a definitive answer on this. We need to go out and buy a book or rent a book.
We need to renew our subscription to the Hoyle's.
Or go to the library and something. Because it would seem odd that five-card stud wouldn't be in Hoyle since that was like the predominant game in the 50s and 60s.
Without that, Cincinnati Kid would not be the definitive poker movie of our generation.
You're good, kid. Not according to Hoyle. So we're going to get some sort of answer on that pretty soon. It's real perplexing. It's a conundrum.
And we're just getting plowed over with emails from listeners, which is great.
Yeah.
But you got into a funny little discussion, right?
This is really weird. And maybe it's because I'm working so damn hard on the magazine and driving all over the state with an idiot. I don't know. But more on that later. But, I was so tired. I got an email from a friend of ours in Australia. And he's telling me he likes the magazine. And his first initial was J, and his last name is Drummond. And at first I was going to be like, hey, man, how are Willis and Arnold doing? What you talking about, Mr. Drummond? Hopefully the Australian people will get that joke.
Yeah. And then you realize that Gary Coleman's probably never made it
exactly.
To Australia.
Exactly. So anyway, I thanked him about it. And I said, hey, did you take a look at the letters page? Because we used your letter. And he was like, that's so cool, man. We're going back and forth with the emails. So he's like, hey, about half an hour later, I don't see it. Where is it? I said, dude, are you looking at the letters page? It's on the letters page. So like a half an hour later, he says, I think you have me confused with J.C. Hammond, mate. And I was like, J.C. Oh, man, your name's J. Drew. Oh, so bad. So I felt bad, and we're going back and forth, and I'm like, I'm just an idiot. I'm really tired. So then like 2 minutes later, he says, you're not going to believe this, but check this out. Apparently this morning, he said, I played in a sit and go with Jay Hammond. I mean, what are the odds of that?
Well, it's online. The odds are all reduced. So,
the random player generator. But really, I mean, the odds of me confusing him with this guy and then him not knowing what the hell I'm talking about. And then all of a sudden he goes into his thing. He sits down and he's playing with the guy I'm talking about on the other side of the world. It was just, it was a real weird coincidence. Check our magazine for fact errors because I'm apparently exhausted. So, I don't know what's going on.
But we also, of course, we went letters from our listeners on all topics, but particularly now, we would love to get some for our good friend Joe Navarro.
Yeah, you know, some people have contacted us already, but, you know, this man is he's very gracious, and he's a world-class reader of tells, former FBI agent, offering up his services to the Annie Up Nation. Any questions you'd like to send him, asking him about nonverbal behavior at the table, away from the table, whatever, send them to us at editor@antiupmagazine.com. And he will answer your questions in our magazine and on our show if they're very interesting. So make sure that you, you know, if you read his book and you got a question about his book, whatever, just send him in and we will do what we can for you. So that's, again, editor@antiupmagazine.com. I got this question for you, Scott.
Uh-huh.
I don't know if you're going to be able to answer it, but I know you're a degenerate. So we have a hotline clip.
Right.
And the phone is ringing.
Yeah.
Of course, our hotline clip is brought to you by the kind folks at DB Dealer. Let's just listen to the clip. And we'll see if you can answer it.
Yeah, Scott and Chris, it's Russell in Illinois. I heard you guys talking about the odds on the final table play of the World Series. And I was wondering, do they take any bets at any casinos, or is it just the online places that do it?
Well, my understanding is that they do not take wagering, despite what you saw in Over the Top with Sylvester Stallone and
meet me halfway across the sky.
But I do not know whether that's changed now. But obviously, you can go online. I know Bodog Life is taking odds, and there are probably a gazillion other sports books over on across the pond that are also doing
like
that kind of stuff. Exactly.
Yeah, so, but it's not something that we could probably verify without actually placing a bet ourselves.
Well, generally, it's sports events is why. So, I mean, that's why some casinos out in Vegas will set odds for the Oscars and things like that, but they aren't allowed to take actual bets. So I guess it's all dependent on whether the World Series poker is considered a sport. And we're not going to get into that again.
Not getting into that. Absolutely right. Way to hit that off at the pass.
But we'll ship out a something from DB Dealer Button.
As long as you send us your address, we will send you a deck of plastic playing cards provided by DB Dealer.
Greetings, this is Columbo from PokerWannabe.blogspot.com, and this is another 1 Minute Mystery, the case of the lucky numbers. It's the final table of a two-table multi-table tournament. The blinds are 200-400, the ante is 50, and we are down to 6 players. It pays 3.
So far, it's the results of hard work.
2 folds to me in the cutoff, and I look down at 8-8. I have the stack size of about 10K. The button, who acts after me, is 7K, the small blind 3K, and the big blind 13.5K. Also of note is the 2 stacks that have folded, who have between 12 and 15K. As we get towards the end, it takes fewer chips to do the job, so I'm going to raise it up to about 1,200 here.
Oh, my wife, Mrs. Columbo, says I'm very predictable.
Well, the button takes this opportunity to fold, as does the small blind, but the big blind raises to 2,000. It's 800 to win 3,200, so I have to do something here. So am I going to end this hand pre-flop, or am I going to play it post-flop? I decide that discretion is the better end of valor here, and I call. The pot is 4K, and I still have about 7,500 behind. The flop is 4 of spades, 5 of hearts, Jack of Diamonds. The big blind bets out 4,500.
What does he want me to think?
And did I miss my opportunity to shove my chips in?
All right, Chris, again, you know, this is why I don't play No Limit Hold'em. I don't see any upside here. I just...
Reason number 648.
Exactly. I just...
Well, you only had...
No, forget it. I mean, throw your tournament life away when you're getting close to the money on...
Yeah.
Very well could be ahead, but, I mean, don't you want a better spot when you feel a lot more confident about where you are?
Yep. And, again, it's another min raise, believe it or not. And the other thing, too, is a preflop this guy had like 13,500. He made it 2,000 and then bet out 4,500. That's 6,500. That's pretty much 50% of a stack. It's a little less. Anybody who's saying I'm putting 50% of my stack on this hand is probably committed to the end. You better have a really strong read.
Yeah.
And you're so close and you've only committed $2,000 at this point. I don't think I have a problem letting this go. I don't know what he's going to do. But, you know, we'll have to see what the Anti-Up Nation thinks, too. But if usually the rule is if you're willing to commit 50% of your stack, you're probably willing to commit the rest of your stack. So this guy's probably going to the end with it. You know, he may have a pair better than eights. He may have hit that jack. Who knows? But it's a pretty big bet. And the guy can bust you. So I'd probably lay it down here. But it's why I love No Limit. Because it makes me think, unlike Limit where it's like, you know, Faso takes his hand with the chips in hand and puts it out there and leaves it there and waiting for you to bet so he could drop a couple of chips because it's no-brainer. But what fun is that? There's no thinking in that.
That's all part of the Dog and Pony Show.
I know.
We'll get you tickets to the next one.
The DNPS. Dog and Pony Show. Do you get enough? Poker, that is. Get in more playing time by buying her a gift card from Red Bamboo MediSpa in Northwood Plaza, Clearwater. Call 727-726-6100 or visit redbamboomedispa.com. The winning cards are gift cards from Red Bamboo MediSpa. I'm
all in. Hey, this is AJ Benz, and you're listening to Annie Up. Say it. Ain't it a bitch?
You know, I really am surprised that we're still in business together. 65 hours in a car watching you try to drive standard. Driving 10 miles an hour.
I can drive standard. I just can't drive that crappy little standard that my wife has in her Ford Focus that we had to take.
I mean, you know, staying 10 miles an hour under the speed limit because you're afraid of a ticket when we're at the end of a trip coming from Jacksonville, taking back roads home. I'm just like, oh my God, we gotta go before we say something.
But see, that's because I am a observant person.
Well, you weren't observing the speed limit.
Law enforcement activities in the state of Florida, and I know that you do not come anywhere close to what that little number printed on that sign is when you're driving through Waldo, Florida.
I know.
And all of our Florida listeners,
yeah, Waldo,
are going to write in and let you know that I was correct.
That big sign too, Waldo speed trap, 2.1 miles ahead, or whatever, 2.5 miles ahead. That was pretty sick, but it was an incredible trip. We met a lot of incredible characters, and everyone really received us warmly. I mean, you know, there was no one that blew us off or nobody that just people broke up meetings to come talk to us because they knew we were going to be there. People closed the facility with us, stayed up till 1:30 in the morning with us. Some guys were just fantastic, and other people were just like, hey, man, this is a great thing, and it was great. It was the best part of it was just. And we were shocked by some people we didn't think we were going to get to see. And they were there when we got there.
Yep.
And I just feel like we're really bonded with a lot of those people. And they now know who we are. They put a name to a face and trust us. And it was a great trip.
So anyhow, if you live in Florida or you're coming to Florida, stay tuned here because you're going to hear a lot about 16 poker rooms that we covered in 3 days. Whatever we can remember from our bleary-eyed trip, which we did because we wanted to hit all. We've been now. One of us has been to every Florida poker room on land except for one.
Yep.
Got one more we got to pick off.
Which
if
one
we can survive getting in a car together again.
Which one is it?
Seminole Brighton.
You know, but you know what? GPS, that Garmin thing you got there, that thing saved our lives. Oh, at the same time, though, it was getting kind of annoying.
And it would turn right.
Turn
now.
Right. I know. And it was like,
now.
It started nagging us.
Now.
You know? At any moment now, would you please do a U-turn? You've missed your, you know. It was really like, it was a godsend. I thank God for every nagging moment that it had. Because we never could have done that without it. You know, or we could have, but it would have taken a lot longer, but a lot more stressful. But that Garmin, man, it was worth its weight in gold. I think that was a pretty amazing thing. I was glad you had it. I was the Garmin boy.
Yes, you were.
You drove, and I took care of the directions.
You kept Velda close in hand there.
Velda?
That's what my wife named it.
Velda?
Kind of sounds like Velda.
That's the name of a milk farm. That's not the name of a woman.
I don't know.
Velda
I
farm.
Can get down with the Velda.
Oh, my God.
All right. So anyhow, but there's lots of interesting things going on in Florida poker, which we knew, of course, because, you know, we decided to start a magazine to tell people about them. But,
that's correct.
But when we actually saw them, it was very, it was even better because, you know, we got out to Mardi Gras.
Yep.
Out in the Fort Lauderdale area. And the Fort Lauderdale area really is where a lot of the poker is now. There's a lot of rooms right there. And yep. It's as close to get as you get to Vegas here, as far as rooms being close enough to
right.
To bebop around to.
Right.
But they are the first paramutual in the state to go 24 hours.
Yeah, it's a real unique situation they have there.
They are.
They used to have a license that they shared with Flagler in Miami, and they ended up buying that license, so they own two licenses, and there was a loophole and said, hey, so every night at like 4 in the morning, they have to swap out the boxes and swap out the cards so that it's the other licenses.
It's essentially a second poker room.
But yet in the same tables and same dealers and everything. And the funny thing was that he said, the card room manager there said, you know, we actually lose people at that point. They get up and leave. And it's like it takes like the same amount of time as it does to just do a regular dealer change or a tray count. But he says he loses people.
Well, you know, we heard lots of crazy things about losing people on this trip. Of course, our listeners have been with us for a while, know how crazy the laws are here in Florida anyhow.
Right.
And the poker rooms do have to close. But we also heard a bunch of managers say that as soon as that bad beat's hit,
they just get up and go.
People rack those chips up and move on out.
it's amazing how big some of these bad beats get, too.
Oh, yeah. 200,000,
100,000. And yeah, as soon as the bad beat, three tables one time, he said, one of the rooms said, three tables, literally, bad beat was hit. Rah, 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 that's it. Completely gone. So. You know where their loyalty is.
You know, and I hate bad beats, but I guess if that's your lottery ticket down here, and
sure,
and particularly if you're close enough to another room, you know, you're gonna play the same game, and everything else is the same. You're gonna play somewhere where you maybe can take down 100 grand, and when you can't take down 100 grand anymore, you'll move up across the street where you could take down 70 grand.
And they have it, too. They have, like, and most of these casinos or card rooms have signs out front saying what the bad beat is. And I liked it. And it was very interesting to see the varieties of rooms.
Yes.
And how they all differ.
Every room is pretty much different. There's not a lot that were, I walked in, I'm like, yeah, I've seen this.
Yeah, no, they all had their own thing. One room had a hand sanitizer.
Yes, I'm huge on that.
Love that. That was pretty wild.
In fact, that was the end of my trip last night. I get home and I decided to fill the tank up for my wife because, you know,
yeah.
I'm a hell of a husband.
Hey.
and it has had hand sanitizer, which was great.
Yeah.
So I got home all with clean hands, and I'm like, you know, I'm glad there are poker rooms out there. They're doing that now because people know how disgusting I think poker rooms are.
Yeah, well, I know they come back from the Little Doyle's room, and you're hoping they use the hand sanitizer.
Well, you know, it depends on how quality the soap was in the men's.
Soap boys. Oh, my God.
So Flagler, I thought, was interesting because it was the first casino I've seen, or poker room in Florida I've seen, where dealers carry their trays.
That was awesome.
And Fass and I talked about this on the podcast back when we came back from L.A., that was one of the things we loved about L.A., is because you don't have to sit there and do that countdown every time.
Yep.
You pick up a couple extra hands.
They're responsible for their tray when they go to the booth, the cage, and it just keeps the flow of the game going because that's one of the most frustrating things of all poker,
yeah.
Just sitting there watching the dealer count, and okay, and then shuffle and deal. You know, it's like three or four hands right there.
Well, and talk about losing people. I mean, how many times have you seen people when there's a dealer change?
Get up.
They're like, oh, you know, I'm not going to wait anymore. I'm out.
Yep.
And they could have squeezed a couple more hands, and who knows? I mean, maybe if they never have to do that, they squeeze out more than a few extra hands and people.
You know, and you live and you learn, too. When we went to Flagler, we walk in and there's a lady sitting at the desk and she's like, that's $1, please. $1? Yeah, you want to go upstairs? Yeah. All right, it's $1, please. So we pay the $1. We go upstairs. And there's no poker room.
Yeah.
The poker room
but, but what was upstairs, though?
Oh, I know.
It was a voting booth.
Yeah, that was weird.
It was election day.
Yeah.
And down in Flagler, people can vote at the Greyhound track.
Greyhound track, yeah. That was
and
weird.
People wonder why Florida elections are so crazy.
I didn't see anybody named Chad there, though.
No.
No Chad hanging himself.
But yeah, it turns out that we could have got straight to the poker room for free had we asked.
Yeah, we didn't know.
And in my, you know, in-your-face, gruff, get-things-done co-host lets me down the one time I need him.
I didn't.
Dollar? Sure.
No, I want. And then
said, hey, Scott, give the lady $2. That was your response to the situation.
No, I said, apparently we need to pay admission. So Scott, give her $1 for me. And then, later on, we got the money back. So.
Yeah, later on. Thanks. The other thing is player tracking systems are starting to take off in Florida, which is great.
They're really impressive. I mean, remarkable. You want me to talk about it or do you want to talk about it?
Sure. There were probably at least three rooms we saw that are at least in the stages of getting them installed.
Well, the Isle has it. Gulfstream has it in their tables getting ready to be installed. And Daytona has it.
Yep.
And they have other systems too. We could talk about those as well. But the yeah, this system was really remarkable. I mean, it literally tells you if the dealer, you know, blew his nose in the bathroom. it's remarkable, and it's like at every monitor that they need it to be too. So the poker room manager there has it in his office. They have it at the brush. You instantly know when someone gets up if they have player reward card too.
Yep, like exactly.
Daytona has a really excellent players card where you can actually put money on the card and go gamble in their betting room, or you can use it at the snack bar or whatever. I mean, it's all integrated throughout. And that was an impressive facility. But the player, I guess it was called the Genesis.
Yeah, is the company.
Yeah, and what happens is you sit down at the table, and right in the middle of the table where the pot usually is, there's a rectangular size strip, and it has all these buttons for all the seat numbers. And if someone comes down, they take your card and they swipe it. Your name comes up on the little screen, so the dealer knows who you are, so they can call you by name. And you're in the system now, so everyone knows now that Scott Long is at seat 5.
Well, Scott.
Or Scott, yeah. But, well,
some of us like to be anonymous.
Yeah. So Scott is at seat 5 playing Omaha High-Low for 25 cents, 50 cents, which they offer there. Actually, it's only Hold'em, but or Stud. But anyway, the dealer knows your name now, and they get to know you on a first-name basis kind of thing. But also, if you get up and like go take a smoke, they hit the button and they pause it. So you don't get that time. So you want to meander out there and try to earn some more points or time.
Yeah, so no more cheating the system.
No more cheating the system. But they also know... They have a little laser underneath the drop, so they know how much money you're dropping, so they know how many hands you're dealing an hour that way, and they can tell you, you know, hey, dealer, you know, step it up because our players are used to getting 30 hands an hour and you're dealing 15, you know, and so it's just the limitless, really, the possibilities they could do with it. It's really remarkable.
Yeah, yeah, it's great, and for players, it's awesome because you get all these rewards, and but not only that, but it helps queue up the system because they're all tapped into those big plasma screen wait lists.
Yeah.
And so as soon as somebody gets up from a seat, the floor knows. No more of the screaming back and forth. And and we talked to a number of managers that had this about how much we hate. When you go into a poker room, put your name on the list. You know there's only one table dealing your game.
It's open.
You camp out there watching the players, waiting for somebody to get up. And as soon as they get up, then you're kind of like, you know, the stapler guy in Office Space, and you're like, oh, there's a scene open. And they're like, no, don't worry, we'll take care of it. And there's a scene open. And then you wait like 10 minutes for the whole, or 20 minutes or 30 minutes for the whole communication system to take place before they finally seat you. No more. This is instant.
And the other thing, too, is they have a kiosk out front where you can swipe it and sign yourself up for any games you want. But you don't have to do it that way. You can go to the brush and swipe it there and do it there. But really, they show the floor plan of the whole room. They show how many seats are sitting.
Yeah.
You know, they're filled in with little green dots, and the dealers are blue dots. And you drag the cursor over the dots, and it tells you who's at that seat. And even, like, if there's a problem with the dealer, and they record it, you know, you can see on the dealer's list, okay, this guy, you know, had to call the floor 3 times today to make a decision that he should have known. And it's really state-of-the-art, and it's the wave of the future. I think that, you know, a lot of rooms are going to have that. So,
and we still got a couple rooms have it, but the Daytona in general, just the entire room, it's a brand-new $30 million facility.
Yeah,
remarkable. And top to bottom, they totally rebuilt the whole thing.
Yeah,
and
it's a whole new building. I mean, it's just down
new
the street
track
from
the Greyhounds.
Yeah, yep. Everything.
And it's just absolutely gorgeous, and they do everything right there. I hope that's really kind of the template for the future of Florida poker.
Yeah.
We get a lot more rooms built like that. Wow.
Yeah.
It's going to be a great place.
Very inviting. And they had a lot of different games there, which, you know, we did notice that a lot of the rooms only dealt No Limit Hold'em.
Yeah.
But this room had, they even had 25-cent, 50-cent level games, which was remarkable. They had stud games going. Jacksonville had stud games going steadily at one of their rooms. They had two rooms up there. And Omaha was dealt at, I think Omaha was dealt at Jacksonville as well. But in Daytona, they had a couple of Omaha games going. They even have an Omaha area and a stud area. And it's just... real encouraging, you know. And, but I tell you, you know what, too? I was surprised by how nice all the rooms were.
Yeah.
You know, I was expecting to see a hole for some of them, you know, or something, but it really wasn't. These rooms were all, you know, they're all there, and they're all unique in their own way. Obviously, that's kind of redundant, but they're all unique. And I really enjoyed it. I really appreciated the effort these guys are putting in to make poker inviting and pleasurable for everyone. So I liked it. I had a good time.
Yeah, I was going to say, I mean... Although those 16 rooms from Miami to Jacksonville, I would have been comfortable playing in every one of them.
Yep.
Everyone. And I can't say that about every room I've been in my life. I mean, right. There's some you walk in and you're like, oh, I need to get out of here.
Yeah.
And really, none of those were. I mean, some, they're all unique in their own ways, and some obviously were newer and better, but or at least cleaner or something like that. But all of them, I could sat down and played.
And yet we didn't.
And yet we did not.
Zero hands played. That is ridiculous. How did we? And even a couple of the rooms had like the ATMs that were right my bank, so I wouldn't even have to pay a fee.
Yeah, that's true.
And yet I still didn't play. We were just so tired.
Just didn't have time.
Sometimes we were thrown off by this stupid rain, which made us drive 2 miles an hour, which was only 1 mile an hour slower than what you normally would drive, but still set us back a while. But no, really, it just turned out to be just, it was like a whirlwind, you know? We were like, all right, where's the next room? Where's the next room?
Yeah.
And then a lot of the dealers were, a lot of the poker room managers were so gregarious, and they just kept us there for so long, and which was great.
Yeah.
You know? But, you know, he kind of throws off your schedule a little bit, and so you're kind of like rushing to go to the next one when, you know, and then when we got to the end of the night, we're like, oh, we're going to play. And then as soon as we got to the room, we're like, oh my God, I'm so exhausted. We hit a wall, you know? So we actually didn't get to play, which is, you know, it's kind of disappointing, but at the same time, you know, it's a business for us now, too. So we needed to make some connections. So I don't know. What was your favorite part of the trip?
Wow.
You don't have one?
Any time that we were not on the road, how's that? All those times are tied for first.
You know, we had a lot of fun on the road, too, though. We laughed a lot.
Yeah, we did. No, we did. No, I really don't have a favorite. I mean, we had good conversations everywhere, and, you know, there wasn't like, oh, yeah, get out of here everywhere. And so every new room was a new surprise for us.
You know, and it was funny because we went there to talk about poker, but some of my favorite parts were I talked a lot of high lie with a lot of the guys.
Exactly.
And relived, and we knew a lot of the same people and watched a lot of the same players as I was growing up. And you know, we talked about the sport and how much we appreciated it. And I just felt like I was making these connections with these guys, which was really good. So, but yeah, and we watched some highlight too.
A little highlight, yeah.
You hear that whoosh, whoosh, off the wall, and man, chula! I love highlight, love it. And it's a shame that it's struggling like it is. But I love that sport, and we had a lot of fun doing that too. That was great. I loved all the different highlight frontons and how they look, and it was pretty cool. It was pretty cool.
And so we're going to talk a little bit more about our great trips and the October issue of Ante Up magazine.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which you can get in almost every Florida poker room now. We got three more to squeeze out, and we're going to work on that. But for those of you spread around the world, you can go to our website, anteupmagazine.com, and read it. And we are trying to work on subscriptions, too. So all of you asking for it,
yeah,
give me a few more minutes, a few more days. Just got back.
And, you know, and if you want a subscription, let us know, and we'll put you in the database at some point. So
yeah, once we form a database.
Once we form a database and figure out what
database
that
is.
What that actually means.
What Rays news from Real Rays fans? OutsPerSwing.com. OutsPerSwing.com has interviews, analysis, and all the breaking news for your Tampa Bay Rays. Are you looking for up-to-date news on the most exciting team in baseball? Check out OutsPerSwing.com. That's OutsPerSwing.com.
This is Jennifer Harmon at Full Tilt Poker, and I listen to Annie Up.
Today's Hand of the Week, again, brought to you by the Poker Whiz Wheel at PokerWhizWheel.com. 169 starting hold'em hands and one easy-to-spin wheel. Take it to the casino or use it online. Mike from Georgia.
We were almost in Georgia.
Now, I don't know if we were close to Chatsworth, Georgia.
We were a 9-iron from the Georgia line.
Well, I don't know about a 9-iron.
Well, for me, it's a 9-iron.
I mean, you're not Tiger Woods.
Okay, I was a 3-wood.
You might have been a full Callaway driver away from there, Big Bertha.
But we were pretty close.
Yeah, okay. But again, we don't know how close we were to Chatsworth, Georgia.
Yeah, that's true.
Where we could have seen Mike and actually dropped his whiz wheel off to him rather than send it by USPS. But anyhow, he sends in a hand from a dime quarter, no limit hold'em, on Full Tilt. And he's using the official deucescrack.com hand history converter.
Hmm.
Are there really different hand converters that we need to have an official name for one? Does it do anything special? Does it uncrack your deuces?
I don't know. But they provide the software, so they must get credit for it.
Hmm. Okay.
You know?
All right.
There you go.
All right. Okay, so like I said, dime quarter, no limit hold'em, 9 players on Full Tilt, and our hero has 11 and change in front of him. A couple short stacks, a couple stacks about the same, and then 3 stacks that are 2 or 3x his stack.
Okay.
All right. He says he has no specific reads about the villain, to be announced soon, and he has been playing tight, raising in position, and frequently folding blinds to any raise.
Okay.
All right, so that's the backstory.
Okay.
We have 10 of diamonds, 10 of spades.
You know, I start to wonder if people send in hands intentionally that are 10-10, just to bust your chops.
Yeah, maybe, maybe. Yeah. But I'm not letting it happen. I'm just like letting it pass by me.
And, you know, I got Negreanu's phone number right in my phone here. I can call him up and ask him if he wants to do the hand for me instead.
I think what they're doing is potentially or sending these on purpose because they know you're going to bust my chops about it.
Well, believe me, I've gotten my chops busted plenty of times. So they're just catching up.
All right, so there are two folds. Under the gun, plus one are out. Under the gun, plus two raises to 85 cents.
Okay.
All right, now I'm looking at my whiz wheel here, and I don't even have to spin, Chris.
No.
The pocket pair is right on the front.
Yes.
Anybody can see that without any trouble at all.
So essentially, you don't have to whiz.
No, no.
You can just hold it.
Oh, wow. Oh, wow.
And look at the pair.
All right. So pocket 10s, of course, are a blue chip hand.
Yes, they are.
And with this many players, we're looking for either a call or a race.
Okay. But the whiz wheel's leaving it up to me here, so I have to actually work.
Yes, exactly. I mean, we're a little tired. I mean, the whiz wheel does not do everything for you.
Okay.
It gives you some guidance. It's one of your trusty advisors in this great game of poker.
Now, if I knew that I was going to have position on this guy, and I knew that...
You do have position on this guy.
No, but no, I don't. What I'm saying is I have to be the last to act. There's two people behind me. So
yeah,
if
but
I
you
knew,
have position on this guy. You don't have position on everybody else.
See, this is why you can't play No Limit Hold'em. You're not listening to me. If I knew I was going to have position on this guy when the hand was done,
right?
Then I would just call. But knowing that I have people behind me to act, I want to raise. I want to get heads up with this guy or just take it down now. I realize Daniel Negreanu says that tens are just tens, but it's different when... You know, you're out of position. If you could be in position with this hand, I would like to be isolated with this guy heads up. And since I have a tight image, at least we think we have a tight image, a re-raise here would send some serious signals to this guy, and he may fold preflop. And I'd be happy to take down the blinds plus the 85 cents. So I think in my position, I would raise here to try to narrow the field and have the button, to buy the button, essentially, or whatever. That's what I would do. I would raise to like $2 here.
Okay.
220.
You were wrong. I would call.
I was wrong?
Yes.
I wasn't wrong. That's what I would do.
No, no. You're wrong. It's bad advice.
Okay. We'll get Daniel on the phone.
No, I like to flop a set here. I don't get too frisky with 10s, so that's why I'm calling. Mm. So you're raising, I'm calling.
Yeah, you clearly don't know how to play 10s. We've already established that. It's like a precedent. Whenever 10s come up on a hand now, we just refer back to that. You don't have to even talk. Just read the hand.
Okay. All right, fine.
No, really, you would just call. You would just call?
Yeah.
No, let me ask you this. You call, and then the guy behind you calls, and the guy behind him calls.
That's what I was hoping for.
Now
you need to flop my set.
Now you have to hit a set to make money instead of taking the pot down now. I would love to be heads up with somebody with pocket tens.
Yeah, and would you like to be heads up with somebody with pocket jacks, queens, kings, or aces?
Hey, I'll get my answer. Don't worry.
Yeah, okay.
I would. You wouldn't.
No, all right.
Because you would go, check. So.
No, that's not true. I would click.
You'd click check.
No, you can't check.
I'm saying after the flop, I'd have my answer because I would bet.
Okay, gotcha. All right. All right, tough guy.
All right, so what does he do?
Our hero agrees with me.
Yeah, of course, because you're sucking up to the nation again.
The Ante Up Nation.
So they'll stop sending in these hands that make you look bad.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, I have no idea what's going on here. So, all right, so he calls too.
Our hero calls four folds behind us. Heads up. See?
Very nice.
We got the desired effect.
Yeah,
playing my way.
We didn't get the effect.
Mike's way. Without putting additional coinage into
the
hand.
Effect. The desired effect was thrust upon us because of the raise before us. We had no idea.
We had good reads on these people behind us that they were all going to fold.
Yeah, we had good reads online.
All right, so the flop comes out with $2.05 in the pot.
Okay.
Jack of spades, seven of hearts, six of clubs.
And this is very similar to the hand
to the 1 minute mystery,
talked about,
right?
The 1 minute mystery, yeah. Same sort of flop. One card over to our pair. We have sort of a middling pair.
So here's our chance to do something different than we would in the 1 minute mystery.
Yeah, well, when this guy under the gun bets out, it's a cash game. I'm not going anywhere. It's not a tournament. So if a guy bets out, I'm going to raise or call and see if he doesn't a turn and then take it away from him. Sort of a float. But we'll see.
You like the whole floating.
I love to float.
Yeah.
I'd rather do that than sink. Well, what does this guy do?
I will give you that. All right, so our hero says that was a bad flop for Ace King or Ace Queen, so maybe he can win it right here.
Uh-huh.
So the standard continuation bet is almost a foregone conclusion here.
Uh-huh.
Correct? And the under the gun plus two bets out $2.05. Goes pot on us.
That's a strong bet. Doesn't necessarily mean the strength. If he wanted to get called, he'd bet less, so And he's not. There's not much. I mean, there's a straight draw to be afraid of, I guess. But there's no flush draw.
Yeah, but I can't put him on that straight draw.
Yeah, I don't think I could put somebody on 8-9 there. Unless he's thinking maybe this guy has Jack 10 and I have a bigger pair than Jacks, and I'm hoping this guy will think I'm trying to steal and bet. But yeah, a pot bet, which is what I like to bet a lot too, could mean that he has Ace Jack. I don't know. I think I'd raise here and see what we got here. Okay, No, I guess I'd call here because then I'm going to see what happens on the turn. Yeah, remember, the turn is the key.
We're down to $10.
Yeah.
So the call would be
$2. Still
20% of our stack.
That's not okay.
Raising would be committing ourselves, would it not? Pretty close?
Pretty much committing. So I'm going to call and see what the turn brings.
Okay. Good. Our hero is in agreement with us now.
Of course, I may not have been in this spot had I re-raised.
Yeah, we know that. Yeah.
So I always have that caveat, that warning that lets you know that, you know. So does he call too, he said?
Yes.
He does call. Okay, so what's the turn say?
Turn, we have $6.15 in the pot, and the turn is the five of spades. All right, so that straight is completed, but we already discounted the fact that it could be there, right?
Yeah, we think, I don't put the other guy in that, so.
Now we got a flush draw to worry about if, you know, he had over cards with
That's correct.
With flushes. Now our opponent, though, checks here.
Yeah. Yeah, see, that's what I'm saying. It was like, it feels like unless he's trapping us now with a monster, I think that's a great thing for us. I would bet half the pot now.
Half the pot.
Yeah, I would bet like $3, $3.50, and just see where I am. And then if he shoves, I'm probably committed, and we'll see what happens because that's a third of what I have. How much do we have? So we have about what?
Yeah, we got about $7 left. Yeah, so, yeah. So you're betting three, betting half your stack.
Not half, but yeah, we have $7.
Well, $3.75 we're betting.
Yeah, $3.50. All right, so yeah, I would still bet that much. And then I'm telling him that I'm committed to his hand, and if he wants to...
All right, so if you're committed, why would not just...
Not just shove.
Get it over, yeah.
Because I think I have the best hand now. So I'm trying to make some
money. Oh, so you're value betting then.
Essentially. I think I have the best hand.
Hmm.
Why would he check there?
Because I think he had overcards and he missed, and now he's releasing the hand.
That's the way it feels. So, and that's why you float. Because when you have a hand and you float... And you have position, that's the best time to do it. So, I mean, it could blow up in our faces here, but really it's a situation that comes up all the time that that one card that's over yours is pretty good, still a pretty good flop for you. I guess I would bet about half pot, so about $3. So what did he do?
All right, so our hero bets $3.75, which is a little bit more than half.
Mm-hmm.
And the under the gun, our opponent raises to $7.50.
Yeah, you can't go anywhere now. I mean, what are you going to do, fold for that? And you might as well just shove.
Exactly. That's what we said. We re-raise all in. And, of course, our opponent calls us 65 cents.
with Ace Jack. Right?
And, of course, Mike says that he made a good play, check raising the turn after his already pot committed. Oops.
Yeah.
Which I guess is what I'm wondering is, you know, nothing would have changed here. I mean, all the money's going to be in either way. But
probably. So what did he have?
So the river comes, is nine of clubs. And our opponent shows king of hearts, king of clubs.
That's tough. That check on the turn is pretty tricky.
It's very tricky, particularly for a dime quarter game. That's probably something you see at a higher level, I think.
Yeah, that's pretty tricky. I mean, it comes up all the time. You know, if you had an overpair, you would have gotten your answer on the re-raise. That's the thing. See, that's what I'm trying to tell you, Scott. When you re-raise pre-flop, now this guy, a third raise will tell you, like TJ always says, a third raise there is kings or aces. I don't think he smooths calls there. He's trying to get your whole stack. Somebody comes over the top of you there, you can let it go for $2, and you still have $9 left. Now you're committed, and you have $0. So
But my way, I would have lost 85 cents on this hand.
You would have lost 85 cents? Because you would have folded to the bet on the flop?
Probably. Maybe. I don't know.
You would not have folded.
I would have not gotten, I don't believe I would have gotten all in on this hand.
Well, let me ask you
this.
But
then again, in the long term, I would not make money at this.
That's true. But really.
By limit.
But really. Your way, you call 85 cents, flop comes with just one over card, that's just a jack, and you're talking yourself about ace-king, ace-queen might be likely.
Well, maybe
holding.
I would have raised there.
So you wouldn't have lost 85 cents. You would have raised to $4 because your minimum raise is to $4 then. So now you've lost $4.85. Now if he calls there, then what do you do when he bets out? Then you fold. Now you've befold for almost $5 into a pot when you only had 11. That's what I'm saying. You re-raise pre-flop there to get position. To hold position and to find information. If I made it $2 to go and that guy makes it $6, I'm folding my tens, and I only lose $2 instead of my stack.
All right, fair enough.
That's why I would have raised pre-flop, re-raised.
Be-raised.
So there you go. See, me and the Whiz Wheel.
It's our first hand in 4 days.
I know. Really, how do we qualify to analyze Hand of the Week when we visit 16 card rooms some more than once and still not play a hand of poker? God, that's insane. And, yeah, man. Anyway, thanks for the hand.
We will send you out a poker whiz wheel from the good folks at pokerwhizwheel.com, and you sent us our address, so it will be in the mail today.
Excellent.
Cutting out the middleman, not nice. Making us beg for it.
Nice job. Well, Scott, this whirlwind tour has been a pleasure, and it's finally coming to an end today, and I appreciate you driving.
Thank you. Thank you. I think we'll be getting plenty of sleep tonight. Yes. I don't think I really slept last night. I just crashed.
I'm going to crash tonight. I'm Chris Cosenza.
And I'm Scott Long.
We will see you at the tables. Annie Up is a production of AnnieUpMagazine.com and is recorded at WDAE 620 AM in Tampa. Contact us at podcast@AnnieUpMagazine.com or call our hotline at 813-448-1120. If you'd like to advertise, send us an email at advertising@AnnieUpMagazine.com or call 727-331-4335. Some music used in this episode comes courtesy of the PodSafe Music Network.
My whiz wheel.
Oh. Is it taking a whiz?
I gave it to you to.
Don't be a.
No, I did. I gave it to
then,
you.
And what did I do with it? I said, here they are.
Yeah, the but did you give it back to me?
Are you insane? You must be insane. I said, here they are. And you said, oh, yeah, look at that.
Yeah, but I.
Oh, my God. Do you really think I have it, Scott?
I'm not saying you really have it. I'm just saying I really don't.
Check the ground, check the bag. Check the. I don't have it, obviously. You can stop looking at me. I don't have it. Man. And you're supposed to be taking care of our books and stuff? I'm going to have to take a closer look at the books. Because you can't even find the whiz wheel that you had in your hand 2 seconds ago.
All right, I'm serious. It's not here. Are you sure it's not on the floor over there?
I'm serious. How can I have it? I gave it to you and showed it to you. And you took
you
it.
Showed
from
it
me.
To me, but did you give it to me?
Of course I did.
Well, I couldn't have walked away.
Yes, it could have. Apparently. Did you slide under something by accident?
Yeah.
Like underneath the keyboard or underneath the regular board or something? I'm not coming over there. Because my wife does this, too. She's like, I can't find my keys. And she keeps saying, I keep ignoring her. And then, because I think she's going to find them. And the minute I get up, she's like, oh, here they are. So I'm not getting up. Check inside that thing. Is it inside there?
Yeah, it looks bad.
No, inside your thing in your hand.
There. Yeah, I did. Oh.
Oh, is that it right there? Right next to you?
No need to get up.
Yeah, I didn't get up because I know I didn't have it. Oh, my God. No, seriously, Chris, I don't have it. No, real. Oh, no, seriously, you don't have it. I thought maybe you were just joking.
Oh, boy.
You're just like my wife, man. She's like, you know, didn't you clean up and didn't you move it? No, I didn't move it. I didn't touch it. And there's no reason to spin the wheel, Scott, because the pair is right on the wheel,
it's
remember?
Stop spinning it.
Stop spinning it.
All right, you got plenty of
yeah, I got plenty of Easter eggs.
Now I got to find the freaking hand here. Okay.
I have it. I have the hand over here, Scott.